We are here at Naturena Village, which people have taken to call Dr. Naturena Village for obvious reasons, because the father of this village, the man who had the wisdom and the vision many years ago to form this club, starting as a peak Kaizer 11, becoming Kaizer Chiefs, and the phenomenon that it is now, not only in Africa but the rest of the world. Kaizer Motaung is our guest.
When I get a Sunday time, the first thing I do, I put everything together. The first article I read is BBK.
Dr. Motaung, the honor of UCT last week, what does it mean to you?
It was a great honor indeed, and I was very much humbled when the offer was made. And as I said in my speech, I'm sure you had my speech. I had been approached by other institutions before, but I've always had this thing that, that it's still too early for me to be taking this doctorate, and that I haven't scratched the surface. So, but come this one, in fact, I was supposed to graduate it last year, but I delayed it slightly and said no. And then, of course, it was this COVID thing, right? But when I received this one, and I looked at the institution, the background institution, and I realized that this one is worth, considering.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, having looked at the institution itself and made a proper research, I thought, no, maybe the timing is right.
Which were the other institutions that you declined?
I don't want to mention them because it would be, unethical.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I received this one, obviously I thought, first I couldn't believe it, and I thought, when I looked at the institution, I checked and researched, I found that this is a big, big institution. One of the, number one in Africa, and one of the best in the world. I'm the top 10 in the world.
Yes.
So, I really felt humbled. And I thought, no, it's okay. Maybe the timing is right, because everything, depends on timing.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, I think that covers it well. And I read your speech. And when I read your speech, I thought, I had another column that I had written. And I thought, nah, I'm changing it. Let me write it. My honor to salute Dr. Motaung.
Yeah.
Congratulations again.
Thank you.
It's a week before the season starts.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of activity in and out at Naturena. Ramachandran Pashel, Nukovic, Castro, Kambole, Dumsane Zuma, Lebohang Manyama, they've all gone. Was this part and parcel maybe of reducing this LRP, or feeling that we are not getting much from this group?
No, it's got nothing to do with salary. First and foremost, we have to look at the ages of the players that have left, right? And you look at what they've contributed during their tenure when they were here. You find that it wasn't inspiring. So, and obviously, we see to the technical team and see where we can plug the gaps and see where we can, take for instance a player like Castro.
Yes.
This season, past season, how many goals did he score?
Him and Nukovic and Kambole, between them, they scored less than 5 goals.
Yeah. So, it's not an economical decision that we have to make. It's just about saying whether is it worth it to have this kind of setup where you have players, even though they earn a lot of money, but you have players who are not delivering. So, that was the essence of the whole thing, to say let's look at how we can refresh the squad.
Yeah.
But first, before we refresh the squad, let's see who who we think should exit.
Right.
And that decision was based on that overall assessment of the team. And of course, the acquisitions also, we have to look at the ages as well, because mm-hmm. we don't want to do what we did with Stuart the first time. You know, when he came, he did not have any clue about the team.
For sure.
So we had to buy the team, the players for him. When he came, the only game he saw was the last game. I think we played in Polokwane or something. And the only players he knew were those that were in the national team during his time.
Yes.
No. He didn't even know Matoa. Mm-hmm. Matoa was not in the national
team. You mean the first?
Yeah, the first time
he came over. Yeah, yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
So he didn't even know Matoa. In fact, Matoa, the reason Matoa, that, you see, Ulento, what's his name? This guy, what's his name? At Supersport.
Kevin.
No, who used to play for Supersport, central defender.
Umashamaite.
No, Umashamaite was at Vets. We got him from Vets.
Right, Morgan Gould.
Morgan Gould.
Yes.
So he knew players like Morgan Gould, Umashamaite, and who else was there, the team? But anyway, the players that we acquired, he knew some of them, but he didn't know some of them, like Abu Matoa.
Right.
The reason Matoa actually played was because Moen Gold got injured early in the season. So that's how Matoa actually, we bought Matoa from Celtic.
Ended up playing as the Twin Towers with Mashamaite.
Yeah.
They made a solid partner.
Yeah.
Because I remember you opened the checkbook, you got Masilela at the left. Eh?
Yeah, Masilela was also one of them.
You got, what's his name, Mashamaite, Matoa, Bonisokat.
Yeah.
And then even Morgan Gould joined them. And Itumelenkone. And all of those players were the Bafana defense of Godin at the time.
Yeah.
Right.
We actually have to reassess the squad and everything like that. The technical team came and presented, and we said, fine, let's go for this. And of course, like I was saying, we also looked at the acquisitions to say, when we get a player, except maybe one or two, most of them must be at a lower age,
mm-hmm.
so that at least they can give us 5 years. So that is how, we dealt with this thing. Of changing the squad.
But it didn't only change the squad, Dr. Mutam, also changed the coach towards the end of the season. What was the reasoning behind that?
The reason was simple. It was because we had already made up our minds that we are not going to continue with a coach for the next season because of some of the things that we saw that were not changing.
Mm.
See,
such as?
See, when coaches come to you, they will tell you that, they like young players, they like development players, and they'll help you with your development. And in fact, one of the things we put in the contract is that the coach must be able to adapt and be able to work with the youth team. And actually advise from time to time. But unfortunately it didn't happen with Stuart.
Mm.
Like it never happened before.
For the second time though.
Yeah. Mm. So we felt, no, this man is only looking for now.
Yeah.
He's not looking at the way forward. So he's looking at winning now, and that's why we're playing the game. We're playing the game of not losing and stuff like that. So we thought, no, let's rather take the decision now, right? And not wait until the end of the season for us to make changes. Let's rather do it now so that whoever, the guys who are in charge must now be able to build, start a new team for going forward for the next season. That was our rationale behind the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
We mustn't wait until the end of the season because we can see we're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the coach was not listening to you guys?
No, you see, it's not about listening, it's about what the coach tells you he'll do and he doesn't do.
Yeah.
Now, do you feel confident that Umanget Atazwan, Chentrikulwan, is the guy who fits the bill and the guy, for lack of a better word, who can revive Kaizer Chiefs, who can bring back the spark that has not been visible in the last 7 years?
Well, not only is he a former player, and he has played a very good, great part of our success. He also look at what he did next door. I mean, our youth structure is so good now. And the kind of football they play, when he can even show you some of the tapes, how they train and how, some of the games they play. It's a kind of his way of playing, right? So we are confident that having worked with all the other coaches and knowing their weaknesses and everything, so he must have learned quite a lot. But also the fruits that are there for us to see. I mean, look at our young teams now. The other one won the cup. The other one won the engine cup.
Yes.
So and you can see the development next door, how it's coming up, and the structure that we put next door that we have invested in the future, which is not going to go to waste. But how many players did you have in the Champions League coming from youth development? About 4 or 5 players.
Yeah.
And they played in the Champions League. This is a good experience for them. It wouldn't have happened probably if it were the people like Gavin and Stuart. They wouldn't have looked at the young players. They want players. They want to win now.
Yeah.
So that was the essence of how we try to analyze the team and see how best we can go forward. Because what is important is not only today; it's also tomorrow.
There's the term you've mentioned it just now. The Kaizer Chiefs way of playing.
Yeah.
Allow us to hear it from your mouth. Tell South Africa what the Kaizer Chiefs way of playing is.
Well, Kaizer Chiefs way of playing, obviously, we should be playing attacking football. And not football that is designed to only stop the other opposition, not to score and end up not winning or losing. Right? You look at the talent that we're bringing from next door. It's players who have skills, who have talent, but then you have to allow those players to show their skills. But if you give them restrictions and even play them in wrong positions, sometimes what are you saying? You are killing them, right? So that's why I say when you look at our teams next door, the way they play, you can see this is the teams that are being given the right tools so that when they get to graduate into the first team, they find they just fit in like a glove. And the other thing which we obviously did not have was, which a team like Stellenbosch has today. You know, Stellenbosch have got a good team, but they've got young players. And their youth teams play against the first team once a week.
Yeah.
We used to do that before during the time of Ted Dimitri and Machine Etugal and so forth. These other coaches don't want have anything to do with the young players against the first team. So they don't see it as a benefit. They so see it as undermining the first team.
Yes.
Which I find very odd.
Yeah.
So the thing about it is that we our supporters want us to win.
Yes.
But our supporters also want us to play good football.
Right.
Beautiful football.
Right.
And this is that's how Kaizer Chiefs has been renowned over the years. To play beautiful football and skillful players and so forth and so forth. So now this issue of trying to compress the players to play like robots, that doesn't work for us.
Speaking of supporters, Mr. Ntawung, there's pressure at Kaizer Chiefs at every level.
Yeah.
You get Arthur, who is a product of the club, if you were to say. And Arthur has been here for all these years and has done all these wonderful things talking about at development level. But is Chiefs preparing the fan base to say, give Arthur the space. He will lose a game or two or three. And don't then start doing the, he must go, he is useless and what have you. Are you prepared to say, you're sticking with Arthur no matter what? This is not Arthur winning next season and beating Sundowns.
Yeah, the message, our message is clear to our supporters. We interact with them through social media and so forth. And the message is very clear. And they also respond positively to say, no, they are happy because they can see the light at the end of the tunnel, because they've been calling for this thing to happen. Now that we have refreshed the squad and everything like that, they don't expect Arthur to win tomorrow. They expect him at least to see the team going forward. They want to see a little bit of promise, to see the team changing in terms of how they played in the past season, which is obviously real. We don't expect the Arthur to win tomorrow and start winning a trophy. It's not going to be easy, but we believe that with the support that he gets, he should be able to move the team from where it is to a higher level.
Yeah. We're having a conversation with the chairman of Kaizer Chiefs, Mr. Dr. Mutawong, here at Dr. Naturena Village, and I'm also here with my colleague, Ustazi Hateve Kungan.
Three strikers have gone, Mkhobusi, Kamboro, and Castro. Now, it's a week before the season starts.
Yeah.
A fan who's looking at Chiefs, you see, thinks, hey, there's no striker there. How do you answer to that? How is Chiefs going to play? Or are you preparing a last minute signing of a striker or something?
We do have strikers. So how do you, what do you look at? When you look at the cover billet, is he not a striker?
No, he is. Yeah.
So we bought a young man from Stelis. Right? And besides, when you look at let's talk Man City. Who is a striker at Man City?
They
just got him now.
Yes, yeah.
But you know, the greater part of last season that Man City had played without a striker. outright striker.
Yes, yeah.
Why? I mean, even players like Gundogan sometimes would play, he'd be going in there and scoring goals, right? So it is, for me, it is how we play that counts. We had a Samora Kool, and he was a short guy. Was he not a striker? it is, what is important is how you play, what type of system the team plays, because everybody should be able to score goals, not only the striker. Those days are gone where you rely only on the striker to say you need a big tall guy there to. We had them right now. What did they do? You just mentioned them.
Five goals,
three of them scored five goals. So what was the purpose? So I don't think it's a transmesh. We will, obviously we're still busy finalizing the final squad. There might be one or two puzzles that are missing, but come next week we might be in a position to say, yeah, we plug this gap.
There's also a matter of government Khodisang. I understand that you really wanted the boy to come in and be the man who leads the board. Like, what happened with this?
You must understand that some of these players, there are agents who are involved. And once there are agents involved, you must only understand that there's an interest. Their interest is also taken into account. And we almost got a player to come here, but obviously negotiation took place between the agent and the staff to say, no, let's keep him there again once more. Well, you must also understand that the agents have an interest in this player, so it's not the player himself per se who decides, it's the agent.
We recently spoke to Dr. Ivan Khoza, talking about the league and his future and the succession plan. the way you see it yourself, how do you see it? Because he said the person who has to come in after him has to be the right person who's gone through what he went through. But from you, Mr. Matong, where do you see the future of TFSL with all the challenges, especially of the finances and sponsorship and everything that is within our football right now?
I think we have a new generation waiting. And if you look at what's been happening now, you know, they went to this course in America where we sent a group of, SuperSport helped us send a group of people there, I mean, of this new generation to go and do this course there and everything like that. So there is a preparation that we are busy with right now in terms of addressing this thing you're talking about, because we also want to make sure that when we leave, when the time is up, we are able to hand over to a group of young people who know what their ropes are. Mm. So we are busy dealing with that one right now. Mm. And I'm sure within the next year or so, we will be able to feel comfortable about the new leadership, because we also need to make sure that we provide and leave a good legacy and not just drop it in the, without making sure that they are able to navigate themselves through this time period.
Yeah.
When you, the old guns, leave, will you be giving the new generation a league that is in a healthy financial footing?
Exactly. That's precisely what we are doing. We want to make sure when we hand over, but first we want them to be helping them to get skilled, to improve their skills. But the day we leave, obviously we'll make sure that it's in good hands, but also there's continuity in terms of the business of the league itself.
As we're about to wrap up, please, just on the league again, when you look at the quality, and I'm really pleading for you to give us a brutally honest answer, and I know you will, because you've always done it, the quality of the standards to play in the league, does it impress you? Do you feel that there are areas where it can grow, where it should grow, and also the model of the league itself being tied to a sponsorship, which also happens to hold the broadcast rights? I'm saying that what happens in 5 years when a SuperSport MultiChoice decides to pull away?
Yeah, that is why I say we're working with a mechanism now to ensure that when we hand over, we don't hand over something that in 2 years' time will collapse.
Mm.
So that is why I'm saying I cannot give you everything, but at least we are working on a model that will be able to hand over to the new generation. The question probably you should be asking is whether we are confident of the new generation to be able to take the leadership role.
Are you confident of the new generation being able to take the leadership role?
Well, I think the prospect is very good. It's just that we have to look at the quality of the club leadership, because that's also key. Because at the end of the day, it is the clubs who elect the leadership, right? And some of the clubs are fairly new. They don't even know. They don't even have a clue about how the league is run themselves, right? So, and even having their own challenges as clubs to also try to beef up their own commercial, resources and so forth. Mm. And some of them don't even have a clue about running a club, let alone talking about the league. So that is why I say it's crucial that we identify the right people and make sure that at least when we leave it in good hands. Yeah, we leave it in good hands, and also leave something that is still tangible, that has a chance to grow. I know that what you are talking about is economic growth, because yes, it's very, very important for us not to depend on one financial resource.
Yes.
We need to make sure that it's in good hands, but it's also solid in terms of its standing.
Yeah.
Speaking about some of them not knowing how to run a club, does it work that today a PBK 11 buys status and they don't even stay in the league for 2 years and they sell it to SARS 11? SARS 11 doesn't pay players and all of that.
Well, those are the challenges that we are facing. And in fact, I do acknowledge what you are saying, that we need to review that acquisition of clubs. So that we have stability, because if continue the way we are going on now, I mean, look at Celtics. What a good club.
Yeah.
Beautiful area. Now where is it today?
Yeah.
Right? So those are things that we are actually thinking and seeing how best we can close that gap, so that it does not just become easy for PBK to say, hey man, I just got a jackpot, I've got a lotto, I've got 50 million or 100 million now, I can go and buy a team there and Vina will become my coach. So,
yeah. I'll fire this one after the first game.
Okay, Mr. Mutaung, Banyana, women's football in the country, how excited are you? I mean, how do you see the future? I mean, now Banyana, everyone is talking about Banyana, but we know where we come from, we know where we are. We know even here at KLRC, if you've been talking about establishing the women's football team, we know that there's no professional women's football in the country. So this victory of Banyana, where does it take us?
Well, I must tell you, we once had a team that we were not running, but somebody was running it. We were supplying with our kit and everything. Unfortunately, during those days, to show that we've always been very thoughtful about understanding that the game of football is will go towards that direction, where there'll come a time where we have to have a women's football. So, anyway, coming back to this one, you asked me now, Banyana. I was very much inspired. I mean, I watched all their games. I didn't miss one of them. But never before I used to watch Banyana. But this time, for some reason, I don't know, I just felt inspired. But I must tell you, from the onset, I was so much impressed by these girls, the way they play, you know?
Yeah.
The way they play their game. It was like they've been playing together for so long, right? It wasn't a fluke when they beat Morocco in the group stages. Morocco, beat Morocco 1-0.
But no, Tunisia.
Oh, Tunisia, yes. Tunisia.
The opening game was Nigeria.
Yeah, the opening game was Nigeria, yeah. In fact, I was worried about Nigeria, that Nigeria would give us problems, but fortunately, they played well, they won. But coming to the final, I cannot believe, even today, that these girls walked onto that pitch.
Yeah.
And that ground was 90%
Moroccan.
Or 95% Moroccans.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And all of them rooting for Morocco. And I look at these girls, I say, they must be shaking in their knees.
Yeah.
These girls started the game, they were in control, as if they are playing at home. It was amazing. I mean, I can't even explain how I felt. I was actually watching the final with game, so I told you, I said, we'll win 2-0.
Yeah.
I said, the way these guys are playing, when they scored the second goal, I said, I told you. Unfortunately, we lost the ball here, and then they scored. But all the same, I could feel the energy that these guys are going to win this game.
Sure.
And the way they played, I mean, look at, they never showed any panic. Even getting onto the pitch, when they look at the stadium.
Step,
yeah. But the way they started the game, the way they played, it was like they're playing a tournament. It was like they're not listening to what these people are saying outside. And I said, this is a great lesson for our teams.
Yeah.
Not to be intimidated by the crowds.
Yeah.
I must commend them. They did a very, very good job. And Coach Ellis has done a good job herself. And she also deserves congratulations for the award.
And in conclusion, there's a conversation about pay. The pay parity between men and women as we round up this season.
Well, that one obviously, Danny committed to say that they would get the same pay like Bafana Bafana. And having said that, I think there's no other way, there's no choice. SAFA will have to stick to that commitment. But the only problem is that when it comes to the other structures of women football, you can't even bring it there because it's, at the moment it's not at a level where you can even say we want to compare with the PSL because, but they have to improve, we need to improve the level of organization in terms of having a league, a proper professional league for our ladies.
Yeah.
That one has to be addressed, and that is, I think, where SAFA should be now focusing to make sure that league is properly run.
Yeah.
And also they make sure that they run the youth leagues as well for the women. Because when you look at Europe now, those girls there, they are so good.
Yeah.
But they started playing early.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You can see. And I'm not saying Manyana cannot win the World Cup, but I'm saying it's going to be tough because this time they're going to meet their, you know, professionals.
Yeah.
And maybe with a little bit of luck, we can get up in the finals again.
I think you must watch all their games at the World Cup. You are the good woman. It's a Sunday time special. My name is Barim Batsokorchas, PBK, with my colleague and right-hand man, Slazi Hateve. We thank you for coming as an audience with you. And we must do this again very soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much.